Thank you, Luke.
Welcome.
I joked with Luke when we got here this morning. I dressed up a little better than usual because I know you all are very accustomed to looking at a handsome bearded man. So I also thank Luke for leaving the stool back here so now I can sit down and be the same height as him.
Good morning. So we have the opportunity to wrap up your messages of the whys over the last few months. I always grew up when you had to ask why a couple of times, it made somebody feel like they were having to be defensive. So why this, why that, why this, why that? So we get to end today with why service. And
so Jennifer and I started off trying to figure out this message with asking ourselves that question, why do we serve? So to give you guys those answers, my answer was God has given me the skills and talents that I can use to benefit others.
What Isaac forgot to say is the definition of service. Service is the action of helping others by assistance or advice given. And I serve because I believe I'm led to show the love of Jesus and help others.
And what we come up with in our research and through this, you know, Jesus was here on earth to teach us how to serve, how to live. Specifically, Jesus told us in chapter 20, verse 28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life. Going further into the New Testament, Paul would tell us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking for your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Now, I started reading the Bible as a mode of pastime while I was sitting in an ER after an injury at work at a prior job. At that time, I knew I needed to find a place to work. I had received notice that my job was going to be eliminated. This is where the valley that Jennifer and I found the seed for Storehouse started. Have you ever heard the advice, when times get rough, you should turn to the Lord? I thought maybe this was the time for me to follow that advice. But where do you begin? So I started with in the beginning. And by the time I got to Malachi 3:10, which is what Storehouse for Hope was founded on, the job I was working was over. A new one had been found and lost due to an injury. I got lower. We were getting lower and lower. Maybe we found our hope in the words that God gave us in the Bible.
He gets hurt a lot. Did you catch that? Injury and injury. It took him to be injured for us to meet that valley, for us to hear the message and the leading to start Storehouse. Because during this entire time, yes, I'm more outspoken than Isaac. Yes, I'm louder than Isaac. But I will argue more than Isaac as well. So as God's laying upon his heart, Storehouse, 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 help, 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 I am busy pulling back, kicking, screaming, throwing a fit. Envision the tantrum of a toddler. That's what I was doing. Or maybe a teenager who wasn't exactly getting their way. It's going to be too hard. I don't know what to do. And I had no idea where to begin. I was pretty sure I couldn't do it. It took 2 years of poking, prodding, and being hit upside the head with 2x4s by the Lord before I finally gave in. And Isaac and I started moving forward with Storehouse for Hope.
So what we do at Storehouse for Hope, or what our goal is, rather, is to bring people to Jesus through financial literacy.
Storehouse for Hope is a financial outreach ministry here in Williams County. We founded it after we experienced our valley and time of financial uncertainty. We provide financial assistance with those who are unable to help cover expenses with their four walls: housing, utilities, emergency food, and some automobile costs. In our opinion, the most important thing we do when someone calls Storehouse for Hope for financial assistance, we meet them exactly where they are. We ask them what happened and why they need the financial assistance and why they can't pay the expense they have coming up and why they're calling us. Again, more whys. We've had the opportunity to talk with individuals who have lost a spouse, lost a job, put off work for medical reasons, or maybe even have no income to live off of. And we've even talked to individuals that are just plain struggling to make their ends meet because they don't know what to do, they don't know how to change it, and nobody has told them yet how to do it.
So to bring this goal into perspective, when people are struggling with their financial situations, whether it be money or whatever living situation could be, you know, some of them haven't heard yet of what budgeting is. Some of them have no idea that they can't spend money they haven't earned yet. Many of them are stuck in a cycle of little income with growing expenses and need a new perspective. And yet others have no earning and expect constant financial assistance. Maybe I can talk today. We aim to end or at least reduce generational poverty in Williams County by offering personal financial coaching with practical application.
Part of the financial coaching aspect that Isaac and I brought was we are certified financial coaches through Dave Ramsey's Master Coach Training. You might be more familiar with Financial Peace University. Isaac and I have been coordinators for that about 5 years now, led a couple of successful FPU classes. I am becoming licensed through the National Financial Educators Council, which just gives me some letters behind my name, but kind of gives a little bit more of a validity on what I do and the ability that I may have to be able to do it. And in doing that, we can bring that as a service to the community. And that's exactly part of how Storehouse is able to serve and give back. You know, we had talked about in the beginning service being an action word and being able to help others. And we do that. We do help others by writing checks and helping that emergency right here, right now need. But we also serve by giving the advice or assistance from the specifics of budgeting. Every time someone calls Storehouse for Hope, we go through a budget, we have the conversations, we ask some hard questions. They don't always know the answers to those questions because nobody has ever asked them that before. In the end, it helps them put pennies and dollars to names of things on a budget, and it helps them understand a little bit more between their wants and their needs.
So when we were at the lowest part of the valley and just had to make the uncomfortable phone calls, just in case, we found out that there was some very uncomfortable have-to-have for financial assistance to be given. You have to have a disconnect. You have to have an eviction notice. You have to make less than a certain amount. Although we never actually got the financial assistance because we really didn't need it, we just needed someone to help us realize our own stupidity at that point in time. Not one person we spoke to offered to sit down with us or even spend time talking to us over the phone on exactly where we were and give us an outside opinion. We thought there has to be a better way. Not everyone needs a bill paid immediately, and often this rhythm of waiting for a cutoff notice and disconnects brings everyone involved into a panic. When we take the time to plan our expenses and ask for help in the event of shortages, usually one or more of those things can happen. The money can often be found in their own budget. The anxiousness from financial stress is reduced, and hasteful actions are prevented.
Sounds great and wonderful, right? And you're thinking, great, glad Storehouse serves the community, but what's this have to do with me? This is an opportunity for you to serve and you to become involved. Think of the skills, talents, love of others, and anything else that the Holy Spirit has laid upon you. And are you being led to put those into action? This may be the encouragement that you need to put your talent of teaching others on how to learn how to budget. Maybe you desire to see the best version of others, and you want to walk with and guide another person or a couple on financial literacy challenges. Or maybe you have the skill of telling someone how to reevaluate what they're doing without telling them they're doing it wrong, and be able to guide them on to seeing a different perspective on how to budget their finances.
The Storehouse for Hope may sound technical, all about the numbers, but this is more about behavior. There is struggle with temptation, with feeling good, with things or stuff, and it's an opportunity to walk with someone and give someone an ear to listen when they want to go buy stuff that isn't within the guidelines that they have set. Another way to say budget. We and our volunteers will never tell someone how to spend their money, but be in the voice of reason when accountability is necessary. Whether they want it or not, just because their wants may be what got them into the situation to begin with. Maybe your time doesn't allow for your skills or talents to be exercised. Don't worry, partnering with us financially is still serving.
And to end, in John chapter 13, verse 15, Jesus gives us another instruction. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time today that we have had to hear your word and share how you have been blessed and have included the blessing upon this community with Storehouse for Hope. Heavenly Father, I ask that you lay upon anyone's heart that has some special skills that you have given them, that they have the courage to reach out and find out more on what they can do and how they can be involved. Even if it's not through Storehouse for Hope, Father, if it's within their church or within another part of the community, Father, we love to see your hands and feet be done by those who follow you. Heavenly Father, in your precious name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Isaac. Part of the reason that, and I'm not going to preach a second sermon here, so don't worry about that. But part of the reason I really thought Isaac and Jen would do a really great job preaching on the service part of the Why Church is specifically because of the ministry they are involved in. I get at the church, depending on the day and depending on whether I'm busy enough to answer the phone or not, anywhere from 1 to 5 phone calls a day here of people asking for money. And as Jen said, it is almost always emergency. I need money right now. I'm being evicted today. I am getting my electric, my water, my gas shut off today. I need to go to the hospital to visit Grandma, Aunt Pa today. And it's very easy to get hard-hearted about it. It's very easy to brush those people off. But one of the conversations I've had as I've talked to these people over time is, I've said, one person, they was really emotional. She was really upset. And she says, I've got 4 children. I've got blah, blah, blah. They're going to shut my power off. And I said, is this your first notice? Are they just shutting it off today? Well, no. How many notices have you had? 3? So why are you calling me today? And I don't want to shame people, but like they said, part of the problem is the way giving, part of the problem is the way charitable institutions operate. They only help people when it's a drastic emergency. And it creates this cycle of never dealing with problems proactively. You know, I know, and you probably know too, that BMU wants to be paid for water and electric every single month. They're going to want it. You know that. If you have a mortgage, the bank is going to be expected to be paid every month. It's not a surprise. But the problem is we've created cycles. Second reason why I really wanted them to come and speak on service. And Jennifer was there, so she can confirm what I say, in case you doubt it. At the Bryan Area Ministerial Association meeting, we had a group of 10, 12 pastors and people in other ministries. They were all there. We were all gathered. And Ryan Carter, the pastor of Bridging the Gap, was talking about the things that their church is doing. And we got talking about service. We got talking about people in financial need and financial distress. And I asked the question to them, to the pastors of this community, and I said, is it possible in today's culture for us as churches to effectively share the gospel with people if we are not meeting people's financial, material needs? I said, is it possible for us today, can we faithfully witness to the gospel if what we're doing is we're out handing out gospel tracts? And by the way, I'm for that. That we're putting the word of God out on the radio, on the television, on the internet. If we're going out witnessing to people, but we are not caring for their physical needs, we are ignoring the material needs of people. Every single person in that room said no. Now, whether this has always been the case, we can read the book of James, but whether this has always been the case, it is the case today. People are unwilling to hear the gospel if we are unwilling to help meet their physical needs. People are unwilling to come to Jesus if we are unwilling to meet them where they are. Now, again, I apologize. I said I wasn't going to preach a second sermon. Forgive me. I don't want to preach a second sermon. But here's the point. We kind of wrapped up that conversation as a ministerial association because this is what we've been talking about, evangelism. We've been talking about how we as churches can reach people for the gospel. And we kind of wrapped it up with this idea that the reason we want to meet people's physical needs, the reason why we need to meet people's needs and pay for their mortgage, why we need to help them get their car fixed, why we need to possibly buy them a new vehicle, why we need to pay for their gas bill and all this other stuff, is not because these stupid pagans are never going to say yes to Jesus unless we buy them off. The reason we have to meet their needs is because only if we're meeting their needs are we actually loving like Jesus loved. Now, I said I'm not going to preach a second sermon. I lied. I am preaching a second sermon. But it's not to story top theirs. Theirs was really good. But brothers and sisters, here's my point, and I'm going to wrap this up with this. I promise I'll shut up and then do communion. I do not believe that God is going to bless our preaching of the word unless we love like Jesus loved. Unless we truly love people like Jesus loved, all of our Bible teaching, all of our gospel preaching, it's all that. It's just talk. And talk's cheap. Money's expensive, incidentally, but talk's cheap. I don't expect anybody in this room to disagree with me. I think you guys are all on the same page, but brothers and sisters, we need to love like Jesus loved. If we want to see people saved, if we want to see our church be effective in this community and in this world, we need to love as Christ loved. And that means loving sacrificially. That means loving as a service. That means, as Isaac quoted, that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many.